We're sticking with the Al Horford theme, the impact that he's having on this series, not just by what he's done, but the impact that he has on what the Bucks might do if they adjust their defense. What's that mean to the Celtics, and how family board game night factored into game four? I promise I'm going to explain that right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked On number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how it started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked On Celtics pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine and your first listen every day. Very, very happy to have you on board and so many of you hopping on for the ride here throughout the playoffs. Thank you so much. If you've stumbled onto the show on YouTube because the algorithm spit the show onto your feed, hopefully it makes you subscribe. If someone has shared the podcast with you, and you are checking it out for the first time, I hope you enjoy it and make it your first listen every day. This show is free, available everywhere podcasts exist, and it is on YouTube, so please subscribe there as well. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, and I was one of the media voters for the Celtics' 75th anniversary team. I'm back from Milwaukee after a long travel day, and I spent some time digging into some of the Al Horford stuff. I think what he did in Milwaukee is extraordinarily significant and has the potential to be even more impactful than winning game four and forcing a game five with the Celtics tied in the series versus them coming home down 3-1. It's more impactful than the points and all of that stuff that he has scored already in the past. What this means for the Celtics is potentially a series-changing adjustment that the Bucks have to make. So I'll dig into that over the next couple of segments. But first, let's get into some of the stuff that came up after game four. I had some random thoughts that I wrote down on Boston Sports Journal. And among them, Al Horford spoke. There was no regular media availability on Tuesday, but he was on NBA Today, ESPN show. And so here's the timeline of what happened. Al Horford gets dunked on by Giannis Antetokounmpo. Third quarter, I talked about this in the podcast last night from Pfizer Forum. He gets dunked on and he does the nodding like, okay, okay. And his sister, Anna, it is his sister, by the way, not his wife. It is his sister, Anna Horford, tweets out like, oh, you know, he's messed up now. Al's about to go off. And so Al did. And so that tweet just blows up. I mean, blows up. It's being mentioned everywhere. So Al was asked about it on ESPN, and he said, she definitely knows me, and she's seen this kind of face that I've made from family board game night. I'm not kidding, that it's from family board game night that she has seen him get angry, which is just about the most wholesome thing that Al Horford could say. Like, as if Horford, like, what can I say about this? This dude is like a complete breakfast. He's like brand cereal. He's just like wholesome and like a little bit boring in a great way. I mean, in a complimentary way. I mean, here's a dude who is a great NBA player who will be in some consideration for the Hall of Fame. Someone brought that up on Twitter. And there will be some debate over whether he is or he isn't. He's a borderline guy, borderline case. which I right now would tend to say kind of no, but regardless, we could debate that. But my point is, he's a great player. He's made a ton of money. He's married to a former Miss Universe. If anybody deserves to have swag and attitude and, like, you know, a little bit more, it's Al Horford. But he's just like, no, I'm just the dad. We play family board game night, and I get pissed off sometimes. And yeah, my family sees that. Like, how do you even equate that to Giannis dunking on you, you getting pissed, and then you getting revenge on him by dunking him and smashing him in the face and like yelling at the crowd at the Pfizer Forum? Just wild. I just love that was how he equated that and how he knew Anna knew about his kind of emotional, how pissed off he really, really was. So that was that. I don't think I got into the Ime Udoka as far as his coach of the year voting, that he finished fourth. And I feel like I wanted to mention that as well here. Monty Williams won, which we knew. Taylor Jenkins was second with Memphis, which we kind of expected. Eric Spoelstra with Miami was third. All very valid cases, all very valid cases. Obviously, we've talked about Monty Williams. Thought Monty was going to get it. I think there was some correction of a mistake last year. Tom Thibodeau won it and did a great job with the Knicks, but I think the Knicks collapsed this year while the Suns were also just great again. I think that hammered home, I think, with some of the voters, like, oh yeah, we kind of made a mistake. So I knew Monty was going to win. Memphis winning, and especially winning a bunch of games without John Morant, was made Taylor Jenkins an obvious candidate. Spoelstra is just a perennial candidate, but I mean, he's starting Max Strus and, you know, Gabe Vincent and getting production out of those guys. So, and they're winning because of these guys. So that makes sense. All right, I get it. Then Ime's fourth and actually got more third place votes than anybody, which is not insignificant. I just want to highlight that Ime was considered so highly in this voting, because look, that for the season to go the way it did, for the Celtics to be 18 and 21 in early January, I think a lot of people started making up their minds. You know, you get to the All-Star break and people are starting to think about, okay, here's my list of candidates. Right. And at that point, Monty was still, you know, that team was great. Memphis was good and getting better. Miami was still near the top. So, you know, Spoelstra has his reputation for sure. No one even considered Ime Udoka around the All-Star break. Like, okay, the Celtics made a nice little run. That's cute. Whatever. The fact that he got this team to turn it around the way they did and pass people like JB Bickerstaff in Cleveland had a case for a long time, and yet Cleveland fell off. You could have easily argued that the injuries were the case and that Bickerstaff deserved more attention than that. Jason Kidd in Dallas, like, we clown Jason Kidd a lot, but the Dallas story, it's so funny that Jason Kidd, this is about reputation here. Jason Kidd has a pretty strong history of, like, yeah, he's not that great. But honestly, the Dallas and Boston stories were pretty damn close. Like, you could, without speaking in specifics, speak in generalities, and the story of early season troubles, January struggling, all of a sudden, you know, they behind a stout defense turned things around and made a real run. And in the second half of the season, we're one of the best defensive teams and behind a star that was making his case for MVP. They really turned it around and made a real run. That also applies to the Dallas Mavericks. So that Jason Kidd was, you know, way behind and only had 9 points to Ime's 46 was interesting. Ime is building this reputation for him to get those votes right away in his first year with this turnaround and everything. I'll just say that I think if Boston is a top two or three team next year, if they're a 50 plus win team next year, I think that Ime wins coach of the year, unless something wild happens, like the Sacramento Kings win 55 games and then Mike Brown's going to have to win it. But I think Ime, especially if the Celtics if the Celtics win this series and get past Miami or Philly, Miami won on Tuesday night. So they lead the series 3-2. Philly's on the verge of being eliminated. But if the Celtics get through and get to the NBA Finals, or if they win a championship, then Ime's definitely good. If they win a championship this year, give Ime Udoka the coach of the year next year, because that's going to be a retroactive award for sure. All right, let's get back into the – I wanted to get to those things first because the – I almost, like, forgot about the – caught up in all the game stuff, forgot about the Ime Udoka coach of the year stuff, and I just thought the game – the board game thing was hilarious. I had to start with that. Let's get into the nitty gritty. Let's get into the Al Horford stuff. Let's look at the impact that his performance in Milwaukee will have on the Celtics, because it will have a strong impact. It'll have as strong an impact as Athletic Greens AG1 will have on you when you start taking it like I do every morning. I use it every day because I've mentioned this before. When I'm traveling, I'm on the road, it's hard to get that nutrition. You're on the run, you gotta smash a breakfast sandwich, you know, on the way to a bus or a plane, it's hard. So with AG1, you get one scoop, you put it into 8 ounces of water, and you get 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens, that start your day right. You're really getting the types of nutrients into your body that your body needs, but without all of the crazy pills, in a form that your body's actually going to absorb. So it's a small micro habit with big benefits. It's the one thing you can do every single day to take great care of yourself. I mean, you know, like I said, your body needs this, and you're investing in all-in-one nutritional insurance that costs you less than $3 a day. So instead of the cold brew habit because you're kind of lacking energy and maybe you're not sleeping well, add this to your diet because that will help you get more energy because your body's being fueled and you're sleeping better. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by professional athletes, trusted by leading health experts, and it's a climate-neutral certified company. So with every purchase, they donate to organizations helping get nutritious food to kids in need, including No Kid Hungry here in the United States. So it's a great company that does great things. It's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs of AG1 with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NBA network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NBA network. Take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. NBA draft is coming up. So after you make Locked On Celtics your first listen, make Locked On NBA Big Board your second listen with host Rafael Barlow, my guy who is, I've seen him go across Europe. He's going across the country. He's out there scouting players in person. He's putting in the work. So if you want to know stuff about the draft, check out Locked On NBA Big Board and read his NBA Big Board newsletter. Check it out. Rafael Barlow is the real deal wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Al Horford is also the real deal. He was spectacular, awesome in Milwaukee, just amazing in Milwaukee. And if the Celtics are going to win the series, I think the impact of him either doing this again or forcing the Bucks to make adjustments is going to be part of the reason why. And here's the big thing, I think, with Al Horford. I think they've said, Al is a, hey, we're going to dare him to beat us. You've got Jason Tatum driving. They really pay a lot of attention to him. You've got Robert Williams you need to pay attention to. Jaylen Brown, obviously, you want to pay attention to. And I don't know if Rob is going to come back for game five. He's questionable. But there are a bunch of other guys on this team that can hurt you in a lot of ways. Horford shooting threes has been one of those, like, if you're saying it from the Milwaukee perspective, right? If I was doing Locked On Bucks podcast, I would say, you know what? Coming into the series, I'd say, hey, let's see what Al Horford can do. Let's dare him to make the threes. Because historically, he's in the low 30% range. And now here he is in this series shooting significantly better than that. And I would say, well, now here we are with a question mark for the Milwaukee Bucks. What do you do with Al Horford? Do you continue to dare Horford to beat you after he shot 5 of 7 from three in game four, 4 of 7 from three in game three? Now you have the 1 of 5 in there in game two, but they won that game. And then you have a 4 of 9 in there. So he's been shooting, generally speaking, very, very, very well in this series. Do you dare him to keep going or do you adjust? And how the rest of this series goes depends on what Milwaukee says. If they keep daring Horford, they might come out and say, you know what, let's just see. But they're coming back to Boston, and I don't know if they can afford to let just see. You know what I mean? Like, Budenholzer can say, let's give it another half. Let's give it another quarter. And keep playing, just keep doing what we do. Keep playing that drop coverage. And if they want to run pick and pop, let's just see if Horford can go out there and keep hitting those threes. And then you have a backup plan to say, all right, we're going to switch to this. We're going to start doing this now. If you play the kind of wait and see game and keep daring him and he keeps hitting those shots, you risk him getting hot again and continuing to hit those shots no matter what. And then they become a little more contested and he's still feeling it. The other option is you adjust how you're defending him, which means instead of playing a drop coverage, you have two choices. That instead of playing a drop coverage, you're blitzing and rotating behind it and saying, we're going to take the ball out of Jason Tatum's hands or the ball handler's hands way up top. So when he gives the ball up, there's either going to be somebody in the passing lane or we're going to be on top of Horford when he gets the ball. You can try that different style. Or if you want to go with a different lineup. And that's the other question. Do they put Bobby Portis in? I think either way, I think at this point, Milwaukee is kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't. And the thing that Boston wants to happen, the thing I think when Ime Udoka said after game four, hey, we can do this whenever we want. We can run a pick and pop the way they're playing us and get Al Horford a wide open three anytime we want. Like, I think that's, Ime is he'll say a lot, and he's refreshingly forthright with his commentary after the game. But I also think that some of that was a dare, a little message to Mike Budenholzer. I think he's letting Mike know that, hey, we're going to keep doing this. You're going to have to figure something out, buddy. I think that he is sending the message, not that, hey, we can. It's, hey, we will. you understand, right, that this is how this is going to go for the rest of this series. There are three more games left. If one of these teams, if they split, there could only be two games left. And I really think that that comment from Udoka was a, like almost like a warning shot that when Horford is out there, Budenholzer has to understand that we're going to go to him. You're going to have to figure this out, Mike. I think Ime was letting him know, got to figure this out. You got to do something. The instant Milwaukee does something to change to account for Al Horford, it's over. It's a wrap. Boston, because he's the dare him to beat you guy. And when you've dared him to beat you and he's beating you and you have to adjust, now you're giving something up because you've created an entire game plan to deal with other people, to deal with Tatum and Brown and Smart and Rob. And yeah, you still have to deal with Al Horford, but you say his scoring, and we're not worried about his scoring. We're worried about everybody else's scoring. But if he's hitting 5 of 7 3-pointers, if he's burying 3-pointers on you and you have to adjust to it, what does that mean? That means one guy on the floor, you go to Bobby Portis maybe, and you have a guy on the floor that's shooting 30% in this series. And you're forcing Milwaukee to play guys that they didn't want to play. Portis played what, 15 minutes in game four? What, I have it right here. 14:58, 15 minutes. They went away from him. And now you got to say, well, maybe we got to go back to him. Now, of course, he was part of their success in the first round, but there's a reason why they went away from him. You want to put him back in? Okay. Well, we'll dare him to shoot some threes. You know what I mean? You want to keep Grayson Allen in there? Sure, no problem. We'll just keep attacking him defensively. Not a problem. And if you're now forcing guys to pick up Horford, that's going to draw some passing lanes. Driving lanes. That's going to open up some things. If you're going to have Brook Lopez out there as the only big, then if he's going to be on Horford and Horford's hitting those shots and he's going to go up and contest on Horford, then that leaves the rim completely unguarded, or it leaves Giannis as the guy who's going to be protecting the rim. And so you just draw him out and dump it off to his guy. And you can start scoring. The Celtics are starting to score at the rim. They're starting to score in the paint. The Al Horford impact is real, and there's going to be more of it. I've got more. I'm not done talking about it. I've got more to talk about. And also some other things that the Celtics need to do here in game five to win this thing and go back to Milwaukee in control. First, I'm going to talk to you about Built Bar. Summer is coming, especially in Boston, but summer is coming everywhere. I just flew out of Chicago back to Boston, and it was 90 degrees when I left Chicago. 90 in Chicago. It's here, baby. The hot weather is here. It's going to be a great weekend in Boston. You know that you're going to be on the go. You're going to be wearing your swimsuits. So you want to get into swimsuit shape. You want to hit the gym. Take a Built Bar with you. This way, when you lift, you want to get some of that protein from the Built Bar. That's great. If you're going to be on the go, family vacations, throw a few Built Bars in there. It's going to taste like a candy bar. If your kids want something sweet, throw a Built. Yeah, here's a Built Bar. It's better than a candy bar. If you want something sweet, have a Built Bar. It's great. Most of these Built Bars are going to be about 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and about 17 grams of protein. That's generally speaking. But if you go to Built.com and you scroll over each one, it'll show you what the nutritional facts are. This way, you know exactly what you're getting. They're not hiding anything. They've got things like Built Puffs. People are going nuts for Built Puffs, which are basically protein-infused marshmallows. people like marshmallow candies all the time. Built Puffs are great and also healthy for you. Go to built.com, check them out, and see which ones you might like. Use the promo code LOCKED15 when you're there. LOCKED15 is going to get you 15% off your order. Every single time, 15% off at built.com with the promo code LOCKED15. You know, I'm waiting for Robert Williams to have the Robert Williams game. Now, obviously, he didn't play in game four. We'll see if he plays in game five. We'll see what the Celtics do. If they feel like, you know, it might be a case of if they feel like, hey, you know what? We don't need him. We can do fine with what we've got. And we're going to let him heal up a little bit more. Then fine. You know, we'll see. If they have that level of confidence, then great. I anticipate he'll play. That's my guess. But by the time you hear this podcast, watch this podcast, we might know the answer. If he plays and they do have to account for Al Horford, then I would expect Robert Williams to benefit from this. And if they can get the Robert Williams game in game five, then we're really looking at this series being over. I said this in yesterday's podcast. I still feel it. And I think I'm seeing this kind of attitude start to permeate the national consciousness when it comes to this series. The Bucks are running on empty. They don't have Chris Middleton, which would help a lot because you could actually guard Al Horford with Chris Middleton. You could actually, that would be a way to do this. Or you could use Middleton in a way where he could account for a lot of the things that the Bucks need. Most notably, obviously, the shot making, the shot creation. But without Middleton, and they're trying to figure out, well, do you go with Portis or do you go with Allen or do you go with Connaughton? And I don't know what Connaughton's availability is going to be in this game, but whatever they try to throw together out there, if they still have to account for Al Horford, then Robert Williams is going to have a lot of room to work, because if you throw Portis out there, let's just say you put Portis out there and Horford pulls Portis out to the 3-point line and you go with Lopez, you know, you go triple big Lopez and Giannis. Well, you just pull Portis out with Horford and Lopez is back there. You put a shooter out there for Giannis to guard. You go with whatever your lineup is. You make sure that Giannis is on a shooter, and you either drive and kick to that shooter, or Giannis is going to be out there. You have Rob on the baseline. And here's the thing with Rob. Rob needs to learn how to work the baseline, you know? If Jason Tatum, let's say, is driving right, he gets by on the right-hand side, and he's got Horford being accounted for also on the right-hand side, and Brooke Lopez is down there with Robert Williams, and Giannis is off on the other side. He has to guard Jaylen Brown or something. And Jason drives to the right. Robert Williams cannot stay in that right-hand spot. He has to go to the left-hand spot and say, basically tell Brooke Lopez, okay, buddy, you're either going to protect the rim now or you got to deal with me. Which one is it going to be? Attacking the defense is very often about making them make decisions. And if Tatum drives right and Rob is on that right-hand side, get on over to that left-hand side. Because what's going to end up happening is two things. Either Tatum is going to find a seam for a dump off because Rob is now between Giannis and the basket. And there's a dump off there for him to finish off a dunk. Or Tatum is going to put the ball up off the rim, take a shot. And if it goes in, great. But if he misses, Rob's there to clean it up. That is an important element for Robert Williams. But that is especially open if Al Horford is being accounted for on the perimeter and somebody has to deal with that. So you run a pick and pop with Rob in the dunker spot and you have Horford out there accounted for with that pick and pop. That actually could be the way to open up things at the rim. So the bottom line here that we're taking out of this podcast is if Al Horford is in the minds of the Milwaukee Bucks and he is accounted for by the Milwaukee Bucks defense, that their adjustment is we can't afford this. We have to go deal with Horford and change how we're guarding that pick and pop. If that's what Milwaukee does, now all of a sudden that's one other guy out of the middle of the paint. And the Celtics now have, it'll feel like they've got like room to dance in the lane. And you combine that with their confidence after the game four, fourth quarter, and you say, wow, okay, that team's going to have a lot of points in the paint. I think the Celtics have the potential for a lot of points in the paint. It's either that or Al Horford has the potential to score a lot of points doing what he's been doing. And the way he's been on a roll, keep hitting those shots. Keep hitting those three-pointers. If he can keep hitting those three-pointers, if he hits like his first two, then forget it. If he hits his first two three-pointers and the Celtics open up on a 9-2 run and it's 6 points by Al Horford and you know, Milwaukee has to call a timeout, then you know that they're going to have to adjust after that. The momentum is already there at the beginning. Now, it's hard. You know, first quarter leads are not a big deal, but you start building on that. If you can build on that and if you can force Milwaukee to change their defense, then that's going to be a very important thing. I think that'll be huge. Just a couple other notes, just quick notes, two of them. Cool it with the turnovers. Celtics need to cool it with the turnovers. They had just 11 in their game four, but they gave up the 17 points off of those 11 turnovers. That can't happen. The Celtics, for once, please just value the ball a little bit more. And that'll get me into my next point. The last point is Grant Williams needs to wake up, calm down, know exactly who you are. Grant Williams needs to remember exactly who he is. He made some plays, like one of his turnovers, a cross court. He up faked. I mean, you think about this. He up faked on the left wing above the break three, sidestepped, went up for a shot and then got caught there and tried to whip a cross court pass to the opposite corner. It got picked off. Of course it got picked off. Between that and some of his defensive mistakes, he's like, I don't know what's going on with him, but he needs to wake up and just remember who he is. You either shoot the three, drive and attack the closeout, or you move the ball. And I've been singing Grant Williams' praises from the beginning. Don't try to do too much, buddy. Don't try to do too much. Okay? I know you're feeling yourself. You feel good. Shoot the three. Attack the closeout if you can. And then give the ball up if you're not going to finish. And that's it. That's it. Don't be trying to do crazy things. Don't be trying the crazy cross-court passes. Don't be trying all that. No. just do the simple stuff. Your job is to do the simple stuff. Let the other guys do the complicated stuff. And that will help cool it with the turnovers. But he's not the only one with the turnovers. Everybody's responsible for the turnovers. Celtics need to value that damn ball. If you can cut those turnovers down, if you can keep Milwaukee's points off of turnovers down below 15, if you can keep it to like 12 or 10, you're going to win the game. Simple, because that's tied to Giannis and his assists. You can keep Giannis. I'm willing to bet that if the Celtics give up, let's say, less than 12 or fewer points points off of turnovers, that Giannis will end up with, like, I'll say fewer than 5 assists, 4 or fewer, because he gets a lot of his assists in transition. So limit that. Play within yourself. Understand your role, Grant Williams, and let the Bucks make their mistakes. Let the Bucks make the mistakes, because they're tired and they're shorthanded and they're starting to scramble. The momentum is with Boston. It's pretty obvious that Boston has the upper hand. It seems like they have control of this series. Just got to come out there now, do what they do best, move the ball. And if you force Milwaukee to account for Al Horford, and if you can keep those turnovers limited, and your role players can play within themselves and just play their roles, should be an easy win. Should be a 20-point win. And I say that, like, it could be like a 5-point game going into the fourth quarter, and it could end up being a 20-point win. We'll see. I'll be back after the game. So that's a Wednesday night. This is the Wednesday podcast. So Wednesday night after the game will be your Thursday podcast. They are off on Thursday, so I'll have a Friday podcast for you, kind of recapping things and looking forward to game 6. And then I'll have a game 6 podcast for you, bonus podcast. Whenever there's a game, I will have a post-game podcast for you. So make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts, and watch the show on YouTube. Subscribe to the show on YouTube. If you are a subscriber, then please share the podcast, spread the word, tell your friends, tell everybody. They should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.